Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. Today, the third in our series of call-in programs leading up to the November 4th election, you can find our earlier election-related programs on public education reforms in the election and the impact of money upon the election on our call-in show webpage at KUNM.org. Tucked amid the items on the November 4th general election ballot are proposed constitutional amendments and general obligation, or GO, bond questions New Mexicans will be asked to vote on statewide. If you're in Bernalillo County, you'll be asked to vote on two advisory questions, whether you favor a 1/8% gross receipts tax for mental health services and whether you favor the county commission supporting marijuana decriminalization efforts. In Santa Fe County, you'll also find an advisory question regarding marijuana decriminalization. What will be the effect if the constitutional amendments and the GO bond and county bond questions receive enough voter support for approval or passage? If the advisory questions also demonstrate voter support? Joining me to discuss the details of the other questions on the upcoming general election ballot are Gwyneth Doland, New Mexico PBS correspondent who also teaches journalism at the University of New Mexico, who joins us in the studio, and Rob Nicoleski, editor-in-chief of Capital Report New Mexico, who joins us by phone from Santa Fe. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, good morning, Rob, up there in Santa Fe. So Rob Nicoleski and Gwyneth Dolan, I don't know if either of you have done this, but I pulled up my sample ballot through the Secretary of State's website. Have you done that? Gwyneth has hers in front. I have mine. And we will have a link to this on our call-in show webpage to this portal. You enter your personal information and up comes your sample ballot. So I had heard about the lengthy ballot here in Bernalillo County during the advisory question controversy that went all the way up to the New Mexico Supreme Court. But I was truly surprised by the length, by all the proposed constitutional amendments, bond questions, both statewide and in the county, and, of course, the advisory questions. So let's see if we can help make sense of some of these to understand the impact or effect of voting one way or another. So, Gwyneth Dolan, let's start with what struck you as potentially the most impactful of the proposed constitutional amendments. Which of those five proposed amendments on the ballot would you like to discuss first?
Well, let me say that this is a big ballot. I always feel like it's big when I get to the second page because this is the part of the ballot I call the OMG WTF part, where virtually everyone gets into the voting booth and is like, oh my God, I have no idea what this stuff is. And you sort of recognize a few words. It doesn't help that the language on the ballot is at best fuzzy and at worst totally misleading, right? So I think that constitutional number one is interesting a little bit in that the history of why school board elections are held on different dates is interesting because it was a rollout of an initial way to let women vote before we had universal suffrage. So they said, look, we'll let women vote in, school board elections, but we'll do it on a different day so there's no chance they could mess up our other elections, right? I have a little editorializing there. And so the problem is that nobody votes. Nobody votes. The turnout is abominable. Nobody ever goes to these things. So if we move them to the date of another election, more people will vote.
But there's a bit of controversy about the language. And KRWG down in Las Cruces had a story about the incomplete wording. So people think that there's a restriction that's being imposed, but really there's a restriction being lifted. So I at some point we will have a link to this. Here's the KRWG story. Amendment 1 on the New Mexico ballot says its purpose is to provide that school elections shall be held at different times from partisan elections. So it sounds like if you vote yes on the amendment, you're creating a voting restriction. But just the opposite is true. The ballot leaves out a crucial piece of information. The restriction in Amendment 1 would replace a prohibition already in place against holding school elections with any other election.
I would say that's a really low-level obfuscation for this ballot.
Well, it's interesting because I think people in the legislature are thinking, okay, this might not pass because of the wording, and it takes 75% on this one particular
amendment. The only people who don't want this to pass are people who are currently sitting on school boards.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Because turnout is so low that if their mom votes, pretty much they're reelected. right? So if more people vote, more people have a chance to have a say on these kinds of issues in their community. I don't think there's a really great argument for continuing to do it the way we have if you care about how many people participate in the process. Constitutional Amendment number 4 is a really high-grade obfuscation.
All right. Talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get to Rob here.
So this says, proposing an amendment to Article 10, Section 10 of the Constitution of New Mexico to allow certain counties to become urban counties and clarify the majority vote needed to adopt a county charter. What this means is, spelled out really simply, that Bernalillo County doesn't have to play by the rules of any other county and can effectively change the kinds of rules it has to follow according to the state that every other county does. But Bernalillo wants to carve out an exception for itself so that every time it wants to change, for example, its purchasing rules, it doesn't have to go ask the legislature for the permission.
Now, I read somewhere that this 300,000 population level will also affect Valencia and Curry County. And, you know, we
maybe 30 years from now.
Well, and we and some more. We will have a link up to the Legislative Council Service has a great document, Arguments For and Against. And in there, they said that Bernalillo County already has the authority due to a 2000 amendment to become an urban county.
They don't think so. And, you know, I interviewed in my class, I had my students write stories about this part of the ballot. And so I had County Commissioner Debbie O'Malley come visit my class, and she was amazing. And I said to her, you know, Commissioner, one could make the argument, the criticism of this constitutional amendment, that it's a power grab, that, you know, we currently have a majority of Democrats on the county commission. So three of them can pretty much do whatever they want if they pass something. Right. They don't have to go to the legislature and ask, are you concerned that in the future a different majority on the commission could do things you don't like a little bit too easily? And she said, not really. I'm concerned with right now. And this will no doubt make it easier for Bernalillo County to get things done and to change the way they do business without constantly having to go to the legislature.
But why don't they think they already have that authority when the Legislative Council Service believes that they do?
I didn't get to the lawyer level on
okay.
it.
Okay.
But they really don't, and they think this will make it easier and make them more nimble. Critics say it's an unreasonable power grab.
Okay. Well, political expediency there is noted. Rob, let's jump Rob Nicoleski up there in Santa Fe. So we've talked about 1 and 4 a bit. I don't know if there's anything you want to add about them, but what out of 2, 3, and 5, are any of those that jump out at you?
Yeah, I wrote a story back in February about the Amendment Number 5, the Land Grant Permanent Fund, where they're going to try to make some adjustments if it gets passed. And what I thought was interesting was that if this passes, this could mean a lot of money for this state, because we're talking about the Land Grant Permanent Fund, which is worth about $14 billion. So if you get just a 1% increase, you're going to get about $100 million or more. So that could be a real win-win for the state.
Yeah, what's not written here at all, because if it were, it would never pass, is that the major change that this makes is it allows us to invest more in foreign companies.
Right. Increases it from 15% to an unlimited amount,
and if
the prudent, according to the prudent investor standard.
If people looked at this and said, invest in foreign companies, they'd vote no. But Rob is right. The argument is we are hamstrung by our inability to do that in the way that business is now.
I remember seeing the figures up working with the legislature, and they were pretty astounding, the return on foreign investments versus domestic and the amount of money that had been lost, in quotation marks, because there'd been that limitation.
Well, it's been a dramatic change in the way we live. Budweiser is a foreign company now. You know, so where things are physically based and where the money goes, this just doesn't work the way it used to.
Yeah. And so, Rob, anything else you want to mention about 5 or 2 or 3 at this point?
Well, I thought 5 was the most interesting. By the way, I have to interrupt because I'm hearing myself 1 second later. It's a little disconcerting. So I don't know where we can go from that.
Well, we apologize for that. And if you're able to continue, please do.
Okay. I'm hearing myself. It's maybe I can just try to call back.
All right. Let's do that. So
I'll jump in and talk about 2 and 3 really quickly.
All right.
Quickly.
Please do.
2 is actually really simple. A few years ago, we made sure that there was a student regent on the Board of Regents of all of our four-year universities. And that gives students themselves a voice at the table in how these big decisions are made. But when we changed Northern New Mexico's state school into a four-year, they just didn't give them a student regent. So that changes that.
Okay.
The Constitutional Amendment 3 that allows the legislature to set the filing date for judicial retention elections, boring, doesn't matter. It's just a cleanup. It makes things a little, you take a document, you change it 1,000 times, and it starts to look really yucky, right? And you get these weird vestigial things in there. This just cleans that up, makes everything function a little more simply.
Dates that make no sense now being in the Constitution. Let's have them in statute instead.
Because it's really hard to change the Constitution.
Absolutely. And we'll see how that is. Again, 75% on Amendment 1, 50%, more than 50% on the other four amendments. So I wanted to discuss those amendments first because there are, the two sexier issues on the other question part are those advisory questions. And in Santa Fe. Now, let me mention first, Chavez County came up with 5 questions. They had everything to do with concealed carry, wolves, voter ID. Diana Duran, our Secretary of State, said she wouldn't include them. There was no pushback. In fact, the county commissioner said it was a well-reasoned decision from Secretary Duran and said the whole reason they tried to put the questions on the ballot was to show the Supreme Court if liberal questions can be put on the ballot to push voters to the polls, conservative poll questions should be allowed too. But those will not show up.
I suspect that all of this is going to be moot really soon because I think what we'll see in the next legislative session is an attempt to make this illegal, to just clear it up so that it spells it right out. You can't do this.
In a general election, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and Rob, we've got you back, Rob Nicoleski. We've moved on now to advisory questions because these are the sexier issues. We've already got people on hold who want to talk about them. And let's go first to the one that both Bernalillo County and Santa Fe County share, and that's the marijuana decriminalization. Here's the language. Because I've got my ballot in front of me. Are you in favor of the Bernalillo County Commission supporting county, city, and statewide efforts to decriminalize possession of 1 ounce or less of marijuana? And again, in Santa Fe County, it's just a substitution for Santa Fe County for Bernalillo County. Rob, why is this controversial? Aren't we just asking? Isn't it just asking us if we'd like the counties to go ahead and work on this issue?
Well, I think what's controversial about it is the fact that it's on the ballot at all. I think Gwyneth touched on that as well. It seems pretty apparent that what it's done is it's a way to try to boost turnout because it attracts Democrats, or at least it's thought to attract a higher Democratic base to come out and vote in a midterm election. The question itself seems pretty straightforward, I think what's made it controversial is the fact that, Diana Duran tried to stop it. And in many ways, the Supreme Court was right about that. Is it really the role of the Secretary of State to step in here? But, today in this morning's journal, the editorial page said vote no just to send them a message. But I don't know if that's going to happen either. So, but the controversy lies in the fact that it's actually on the ballot to begin with.
And so, Gwyneth, what's the impact if a majority actually says, yes, I am in favor?
Well, I think there's two potential impacts here. The first one is if a majority votes that they do favor this, then it provides a massive amount of ammunition for elected officials to say, this is what the people want. They voted for this. They told us they wanted this. We're going to move forward on it. If it fails, this issue is dead in the water. It's going to be dead for a long time because a public vote of no will just kill it. right? I think the bigger long-term impact is that, you know, this is clearly a drive to bring out younger voters who tend to vote liberal, right? These people I know, I teach every single day, right. the turnout, we look at the numbers, it's really low. They very rarely vote. So if they turn out for this election, they could swing it. I'll be really interested to see those numbers when they come in. But a one-time election where a bunch of young people turn out in the long run means nothing. If it is the gateway drug to a lifetime of civic participation and voting, then awesome. That's great. Is that going to happen? I don't know. But I mean, if we can hook them on this habit of going to the polls and reading about what's happening and being invested in this process, that could be great. If it's not this issue, hopefully it's something else.
Well, I was going to say, you feel that way, but why doesn't everyone feel that way? Is it because of...
It's just partisan.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, this is an entirely partisan issue. That's why this issue really doesn't matter at the end of the day, because if what I care about is getting more young people to the polls, period, no matter how they're going to vote. Because they might vote this way on this question, but they might, you know, we know they'll become more conservative as they age.
Yeah. And Rob, do you know what the participation percentages are in terms of people voting? In elections, I mean, it's something abysmal. It's a 30% or below, is it not, or 30? Rob?
Yeah, although I think those numbers have been creeping up nationally. I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
But, you know, but as far as, you know, the marijuana question goes, you know, Gwyneth's right, you know, this could bring out a little bit more turnout. But then the other question would be, let's say you do get a pretty decent number of young people to come out and vote on this one particular issue. Then the other question becomes, well, what happens on the next issue?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, once they vote on this, let's say they vote yes on this, does that mean they're going to come out and vote 2 years from now? And that's a really big question.
As long as they feel they are participating in a democracy, perhaps. So we're talking today about all of the other questions on the upcoming general election ballot. I'm joined in the studio by Gwyneth Dolan, New Mexico PBS correspondent, who also teaches journalism at the University of New Mexico. And I'm also joined by phone from Rob Nicoleski, editor-in-chief of Capital Report New Mexico, who's on the phone from Santa Fe. If you would like to join in our discussion about these other questions, proposed constitutional amendments, bond questions, advisory questions, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may post comments on the Call In Show webpage at kunm.org, or you may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866 with questions and comments. Will you be taking time to educate yourself and vote upon each of the issues on the November 4th general election ballot? Does a crowded ballot deter you in any way from these tasks, the education and or the voting? We'd like to hear from you. In the meantime, we'll take a short break and we'll be back with our guests and your questions and comments.
This Week in This American Life.
I threw a chair one time when I was 3 or 4.
Now JJ's 5, and in fact, he was 4 years old when he threw a chair in preschool and got suspended. That's right, suspended from preschool. But he didn't understand that being sent home from school was a punishment.
Do you know what a suspension is?
I forgot.
Stories of schools and parents trying to discipline kids who were bad this week.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on KUNM.
Virginia Gridell of Tijeras writes, I had an excellent experience during the donation of my 1996 GMC Sierra truck to KUNM. All aspects were clearly explained on the initial phone conversation. The date of pickup was arranged to my convenience, and the tow service arrived exactly during the time frame indicated. All of the paperwork was easy to understand and processed as described. It all worked easily and effectively. Thanks, Virginia. Donate your car or truck at 888-KUNM-CAR.
Welcome back to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and I'm joined here by Rob Nicoleski of Capitol Report, New Mexico, and Gwyneth Dolan, New Mexico PBS correspondent. And we're talking today about the other questions on the ballot. And I've got a couple of calls here on hold regarding the mental health advisory question. So let's go ahead and read the language, and then maybe we'll start with these calls and then come back to our guests here. So the language asks, are you in favor of the Bernalillo County Commission establishing a 1/8% gross receipts tax to be used for the purpose of providing more mental and behavioral health services for adults and children in the Albuquerque and Bernalillo County area to provide a safety net system that develops continuum of care not otherwise funded in New Mexico? So that's the language. Let's go ahead and bring in our first caller who's been holding quite a long time on this issue. Good morning, Tom, and thanks for being with us.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, and you today?
I'm good, Kathy.
Good. Now, you would like to talk about the mental health advisory question?
Yeah, I think it's a great advisory to put on that, and I do hope that people will vote yes. What it's going to do, I believe, if you look at anything that the city task force did for behavioral health, if you go to the city site. During the summer, we had put together kind of advisory or legislative ideas that would improve mental health and tie services together and basically create, I know it says basically a safety net. It's people entering the service, and it's a full spectrum from early entry and wanting to get help all the way up to crisis management. And I think this would help. The tax would help. I'm in full support of it. I have a son with a mental illness, and I think it would open up the possibility of early help and also, I hate to even call it crisis management because I don't think it should all be seen as a crisis, but as a need to support people with behavioral health issues.
All right. Tom, thanks so much for your call. And I do want to mention that we do have a link up. Dan McKay, Albuquerque Journal writer, wrote a really detailed article on this issue. Tax increase for mental services is a divisive issue. And that's up on our Collins Show webpage, a link to that. That's October 13th. So people can see that. And Gwyneth, you wanted to comment on this.
Well, I just wanted to say it's important to remember that this doesn't do anything. Right? I mean, this just says, should we maybe? I mean, it is a sneaky little way of doing something. I think it functions somewhat in the same way as the other advisory question here asking, is this a priority? Another way to do this is to pay for a poll, right?
So what happens with this question if the answer is overwhelmingly no? Is the issue dead?
I'm not sure it carries the same weight. I'd be interested to hear what Rob thinks, but I'm just not sure that the awareness and it's not that political outside a small circle, you know. I think the larger community is like, I don't know, whatever, pay for it. That sounds fine.
Well, yeah, let's bring Rob in. Rob, what are your thoughts about this advisory question?
Well, to me, it's a feel good advisory question. Who's against the safety net? I mean, the problem, I guess, politically with this and policy wise, is that it's really not very specified. You know, what exactly are we going to be spending money on? And it goes back to what Gwyneth just said, the fact that it's not a binding question. Again, to echo what Gwyneth was saying, you know, it's more of a polling question, and to me, this brings up it sort of begs the question: isn't this what Brian Sandoroff?
Well, and interestingly, what Dan McKay also mentions in the article is there is a massive task force, and I went and I checked out this massive task force. It's 46 members large, and it's a bipartisan task force of city, county, and state officials examining ways to improve mental health programs, and they made their final recommendations on October 2nd. You can view those through the city's website. So we've got, you know, people looking at this issue for sure.
But yeah, we do. And by the way, Bernalillo County did pay for a poll on this exact question, and that's how they chose this issue to put on the ballot.
When was that poll and
Earlier this year, they asked about a whole bunch of issues to see what was important to folks in Bernalillo County, and this was at the top of the list.
All right, so here we have our question. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Nettie from Albuquerque. Good morning, Nettie, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you, Kathleen, for today's program and the topics and questions that you're raising.
Absolutely.
I am part of a group that's working to pass the advisory question to fund additional mental health services in Bernalillo County. This group includes families and advocates and elected leaders and others who hope to see treatment options outside of detention and hospitalization made available for those in need. The group is called Yes for Mental Health Solutions. You can learn more at our website, yesformentalhealthsolutions.com. You know, this is an important advisory question. It is important to show our elected leaders that our community, there are serious problems out there in terms of what's happening with the police and shootings and jails being, MDC being filled. Other communities are doing things that are different than what we're doing, but it's going to require us to invest, to have some, to put some upfront funding for a treatment center, for additional health and addiction treatment services. These are the kinds of things that are going to save us in terms of cost savings in the long run.
Go ahead. Continue, Nettie, and then I want to ask you a question, please.
Sure. You know, there's clearly a need in our community to see something done. I think that, you know, the commission voted 3-1 to put this on the ballot, and we hope that it passes overwhelmingly and that there is a commitment to move forward to impose this tax, which they have the authority to do.
What I wanted to ask you is, so opponents, and it's hard sort of to say opponents to an advisory question, but they say that the county already conveys property tax revenue over to UNMH Hospital and that they could realign this. It was approximately $78 million for UNMH last year, and UNMH, University of New Mexico Hospital, estimates that $13.9 million was spent on behavioral health services, including work with patients released from the county jail, and that there's money that also comes from the city. What's the response to that, to someone who says, hey, we don't need a new tax, we just need to realign money that we're already collecting and handing out?
Well, I think that there's, you know, in talking with advocates, people that work in this, I mean, and that's why, you know, the task force came together and proposed what were the things that were needed. For example, this regional crisis stabilization facility. Right now, the truth of the matter is that the only options are when a family member calls because there's somebody's having a situation, is that they go to jail or they go to the hospital. They're clearly not options made available, and there needs to be funding for that. And this, if it's 0.8%, if that actually becomes enacted, that would be an additional $20 million a year.
Is there a plan that if there is a vote in favor and then the commission votes to impose this tax, that the commission will certainly look to what the task force has come up with?
Commissioner Maggie Hart Stebbins and Commissioner Debbie O'Malley have spoken to that. You know, until a detailed plan of how this money is going to be spent, would they vote for this GRT?
All right,
raising the GRT. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Nettie, thanks so much for your call today, and we appreciate you calling and giving us a little more context to this advisory question. Before we move on to our next caller, our executive producer has given us some clarification on election figures. The U.S. Election Project says 42.8% of eligible voters in New Mexico cast ballots in 2010. In that midterm election, which is higher than I expected.
It's about average for national numbers.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and bring in our next caller, David from Albuquerque. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Thanks
Absolutely.
For covering this topic. It's really important.
Okay.
I had the pleasure of being one of the members of the Mayor's Behavioral Health Task Force, and that was an advisory group. We made recommendations, but it's important to know that the recommendations we made are all kind of forward-thinking. There's no money being spent. There's no actual changes being implemented at this point. A lot of the recommendations that we made need to be implemented through legislative action because most of the issues that are dramatically impeding behavioral health services in Bernalillo County and Albuquerque are limited by state issues, state regulations on access to services, mostly through Medicaid. The really important thing is that this poll or this vote offers the opportunity for Albuquerque and Bernalillo County residents to identify very clearly to our state legislators that these issues are important because we need our legislators to really push on the state of New Mexico. We really need our legislators to pass legislation that can't be vetoed that requires that our behavioral health system take care of our most vulnerable citizens. This is an opportunity for people to come together and really express that strongly to our legislators.
All right. David, thanks so much for your call this morning. And let's get some comment from our guest, Gwyneth. We've heard from a couple of callers.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a really big and really important issue. I think critics say this, one sentence on the ballot is not the place to work out this kind of priority in our community. There's no question it's a huge problem.
Rob, any comment, having heard from our few callers here on this issue?
Yeah, well, sort of echoing what I said before, I mean, who's going to be against a safety net? So the questions that arise from there, first of all, is how many people are actually going to vote this far down the ballot on this particular question? And if they do, do the numbers really mean anything? And the other thing, too, is that you could just, I don't have any doubt of the sincerity of the people who definitely believe that mental health services need to be improved or expanded. But it also begs the question about whether or not you're almost push-pulling something because there's no specificity to it. For example, let's say you're a fiscal conservative and you had something on the ballot that said it's really important for the city to balance its budget. Well, you could probably get a lot of people who vote for that as well, but the specifics would mean, okay, if you're going to balance a budget, what things are going to be cut? So I don't know if this is an exercise much more than just political cheerleading.
But I think what we also know is true, Rob, is that if you ask people what are your priorities, like if the police come and say, we need new cars, it's like, oh, of course, give them their cars. Even if we just bought them new cars, people mm-hmm. will vote to give them new cars immediately. And then they're like, mental health, It is not always people's top priority when they look at the budget. There's not as much instant yes on it as there is for, a major road project that people know is going to affect them, like Paseo or something like that.
Yeah, but then you could come right back and say, well, that's all the more reason not to put something like mental health services on the ballot because it maybe doesn't drive the same sort of voters that something like increasing police funding might. So
I think this is one of those issues where there's a small group of very motivated people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and certainly we know with the Boyd shooting, that really kind of crystallized all of these things. But the bottom line is because of the question is, doesn't it have specifics to it? It's not, how that supposed money would be supposedly spent. I think we're sort of one or two steps removed from the issue altogether.
The lack of specificity is something that plagues all of these items all the time. You know, I'm a writing teacher, and if this ballot came to me, I would give it an F. I would say, go back to the student tutoring and get them to help you put this in normal human language. And the problem is that it puts the onus on everyone to go and do all this research. No one cares. No one has the time. This is why I used this ballot, these ballot questions, as an assignment in my class for the principle of journalism that says we must strive to make the important interesting and relevant. Because they
or at least clear.
But, you know, it's impossible to see from any of these things what the human impact is actually going to be. And if we look at something like bond question C, it's totally unclear.
Well, you know, I'm curious because I wonder what each of you think. If we were able to vote online and we could take our time, would we get more interest? Would we get more involvement? Would I take the time? Would you or whomever, anybody sitting out there, take the time and go, let me find out about that issue right here and now?
If you could take your phone into the ballot booth, then you might be able to Google it while you're in there.
Yeah. So we could see. Well, you know, we do hope people make it to that part of the ballot. Let's bring in Clifton, who wants to talk about that a little bit. Good morning, Clifton.
Morning. Good morning. Thank you for the show. I have a brief comment. I had been in favor of these initiatives because I thought at least we were moving forward and finding out how people felt. And I think some of the points about how now we can begin to see this broad array of red herrings come onto these ballots is a concern. But I've also talked to several people who are suggesting that they're not going to vote on these initiatives, and in part it's because of distrust of the system. They don't want to lend their name, for example, to the pro-marijuana question until it counts. And so then my concern becomes, well, wow, what if a bunch of people feel that way, and they may be in favor of one of these initiatives, but they don't vote because they don't feel it counts? So I guess since they are on the ballot, I just want to encourage everybody to please pay attention and vote your conscience on those issues.
All right. Thanks.
Clifton. If people are too high to understand how voting works, then that's okay if they don't vote. That's what I say.
Well, because
I think Clifton brings up an interesting point, and I'm looking at it from an inverted perspective. And that's if maybe there'll be a lot of people who might go in there and vote, let's say, on the marijuana question, and they're in favor of decriminalizing it. They might think that that they just voted to decriminalize it when it's purely just basically a poll question. And that begs the question about maybe, let's say, we do have some sort of vote on it that's a binding vote. Maybe a lot of people would come back and say, well, I thought I already voted on that issue.
I think it might
breed more confusion than clarity.
I'm not sure that that's really going to happen. But as I said before, if this is the gateway drug that brings more people to the polls, great. If they accidentally express their opinion on other important things, great. I think that's cool.
We're talking today about the other questions on the upcoming general election ballot. I'm joined by Gwyneth Doland and Rob Nicoleski. If you would like to join in our discussion about proposed constitutional amendments, bond questions, advisory questions, you may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number 1-877-899-5866 with questions and comments. We'll be back with you after a very short break.
Saturday night, the 25th, the New Mexico Philharmonic welcomes Jeremiah Bitsui, Victor from Breaking Bad, as they cast a magical incantation on Popejoy Hall. Break out the best costumes and bring the kids for scary stories and symphonic sounds. It's the NM Phil's Halloween Spooktacular, 6 p.m. Saturday the 25th. A frightful night of family fun from the NM Phil. Information at nmphil.org. A message from the tax-exempt New Mexico Philharmonic. Kim Ju Photography, Pfeiffer Studio, and Pimentel Guitars donated 12 prizes valued at a total of $9,000 to encourage you to support KUNM. If you received a mailing this month with pictures on the envelope to get a full 12 chances to win, please return the response card so it reaches us before 5 p.m. on Friday, October 17th, when we draw the first five winners. Didn't get a mailing? You can donate and or register at KUNM.org. Click the yellow prize box.
Welcome back to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and we're talking today about the other questions on the upcoming general election ballot with Rob Nicoleski of the Capitol Report, New Mexico, and Gwyneth Dolan, New Mexico PBS correspondent. And before we move forward, I just do want to mention that tonight at 7 p.m. on KUNM, we'll be broadcasting a debate between District 2 congressional candidates. Democratic attorney Roxanne Rocky Lotta is trying to unseat incumbent Republican Steve Pierce. That's tonight at 7 p.m. here on 89.9 KUNM. And mark your calendars, because we will also be broadcasting a debate between the Democratic incumbent Ben Ray Lujan and Republican Jeff Byrd. That's Congressional District 1, is it not? 2? 3? I'm getting, people are holding up different amounts of fingers. Congressional District 3, and that's, sorry about that. So we'll have that debate. Tonight, we have Congressional District 2. On the 30th of October at 7 p.m., we'll have Congressional District 3, Ben Ray Lujan, the incumbent, and Republican Jeff Byrd. So please join us for those. Let's move now to just talking about the bond questions, these statewide bond questions. And Gwyneth, you wanted to mention one that you thought was very important.
Yeah, I mean, the way these work is that the legislature comes up with these lists. They ask folks, you know, what do you want money for? What should we do? It goes through the legislative process, and then it gets put on here. And then all the specifics are not on here, so you have no real idea what it means. A is pretty simple. Senior citizen facility improvement. Okay, that's what that's for. B is for libraries, and it means buying books. It means, though, a lot of electronic subscriptions to journals and things like that that students use online, and other acquisitions, buying stuff for people to read. Bond question C is, this failed last time it was on the ballot, which is pretty rare because, generally speaking, this stuff at the bottom of the ballot passes because people are like, well, I want to get out of here. Yes, 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 let's do this thing, right? So in Bernalillo County, bond C covers a short list of things. There's $10 million in here for CNM to plan, design, construct, and renovate Smith Brasher Hall. That's about 3,400 students who use that building. At UNM, it means an overhaul of the Ferris Engineering Building. And my students wrote stories about this bond, and they talked to some professors and students in that building who say, you know, it leaks, rain comes in, the place is kind of a mess.
And that's $20.5 million earmarked for that, is it not?
It is. It is. It's a big renovation project. Of course, UNM asked for a lot more money than this, but this is the one thing that the legislature chose to fund. They're also giving, this would, if it passes, give $12 million to the UNM Health Sciences Center for classroom space. Because they say they're out of classroom space. So the list of projects is either funded or not funded at all. It's totally yes or no. All of the projects are spelled out with the amounts of money, and they get this money by next year, and they're able to start right away on these projects if that's what people want.
And Rob, it's important for people to know, at least according to the Legislative Council Service, that approval of these questions won't affect state property tax rates. And is that because other bonds are being retired or expiring at the time these would come into being?
You got me.
Yeah.
I think that's a
reason. That one, yeah.
That is how that works.
Yeah, but...
But I agree with Gwyneth. The one that jumped out at me of the three bonds up for grabs there was bond question C, just because of the sheer number of it. It was $141 million total. UNM getting a total of $39 million. New Mexico State, $25.1 million. Higher education schools in general getting $23.5 million. That's a lot of money. I think that it probably helps the supporters of this of these bond amendments that the Journal came out today. You know, the Journal's got an editorial page that's right of center, and they signed off on it. So I think that's going to be a big boost for them. But I think the sheer number might make a few voters pause when they see $141 million.
It is a lot of money. There are projects spread all over the state. There's a website that promotes this issue in favor of it called higheredbondc.com. UNM, these individual schools are not allowed to promote voting for this thing, but they can educate on the issue. So this is the website that they're using to try to persuade people to vote for it this time, because as I said, it failed last time. So if you click on San Juan County, for example, you see that Diné College in Shiprock is, you know, would get $500,000 to plan and design a math and science building. You know, if you look at this from a really cynical perspective, you see all this money spread out all over the state to try and give everyone a stake in the issue and try and get all these little schools to turn out voters to vote for this thing. But, you know, this is money that we designate for this purpose. It's not like if we don't vote on this thing, then we could spend it on public safety or something else. This is infrastructure money that we're going to spend on this kind of stuff one way or another.
If you would like to join in our discussion about the other questions on the ballot, you are welcome to call us at 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM or our toll-free number 1-877-899-5866 with questions and comments. What are your questions or concerns about this lower half of the ballot here? Now, Rob Nicoleski, I know we lost you at one point and you were talking about Constitutional Amendment 5. Did you want to go back and revisit that for any reason?
Well, to me, it's just a very, very interesting amendment. And I know that the State Investment Council is trying really hard to get it passed because they feel that, and Gwyneth touched upon this earlier in the program, about how if we can spend more money, invest more money in foreign sources, and also foreign investment now and foreign businesses are cross-pollinated across so many different countries now that it's really hard to say, okay, we don't want to invest in a foreign country. Well, just about every, well, not every, but a large number of U.S. companies have foreign holdings. So I think that's an important issue, you know, to look at because the Land Grant Permanent Fund is such a large investment. You're talking about $14 billion. And that also could bring up the question that, I mean, it's hanging out over in an ancillary way about whether or not we should tap the Land-Grant Permanent Fund for early childhood education. If they're going to be making even more money, I think that might put a little bit more pressure on fiscal conservatives who don't want to touch the Land-Grant Permanent Fund.
Okay. We also have a few county bonds, and we know they're not of interest to most people, but there are five here in Bernalillo County, and there's one that has sparked a story, and it's October 13th story again by Dan McKay, because in there is a animal shelter and otter exhibit included in that bond issue. Gwyneth, do you think people now realize that this is in there, and perhaps they will vote for this? Is, I believe, bond question 3 here in the county?
Yeah, like I say, it's really, really hard to make bond questions sexy. But otters are sexy. They are cute. They're so freaking cute. I was talking to my students about this bond, and I teach in a computer lab, and I said, pull up pictures of otters. And there was this, oh, in the classroom. Debbie O'Malley, County Commissioner Debbie O'Malley, told me that she wanted to fund this project because, as she said a couple of times, otters are very resilient creatures. And what she means is they're really hard to kill and they're really easy to keep up. And so the folks who support this say this is a relatively inexpensive way to bring a new exhibit that is of a native species, something relevant that people love, that's really cute, that doesn't require the kind of expensive attention that, say, penguins do.
And you can find information about these bonds. Again, there are five of these county bonds in Dan McKay's October 13th article. But also, Rob, there's out there are these League of Women Voters guides, and I believe we have links to all of them on our call-in show webpage. How dependent are people upon these guides at this point, that, from your knowledge?
I think that people, it's if they're motivated enough to care about these issues, I think they're motivated enough to get those sort of guides. Getting circling back a little bit to what Gwyneth was saying, I mean, if you're in favor of the otter exhibit, I imagine you might be a little bit angry the fact that on the ballot itself, there's no specific wording about the otter exhibit
on
number two. So I think that if you're a big otter fan, you might be thinking that, well, where exactly is this on the ballot? It's a little bit vague.
And we have to thank the Journal and others for parsing out these questions. Gwyneth, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, the county goes through, and this is the way it works in all the counties, they go through this process of making a list of priorities of things they want to do. And then they put it to the voters and say, okay, this is what we want to do. Tell us yes or no on these things. But the problem is very, very few people pay attention to the actual process of putting together that plan.
Mm.
So this has been through a long planning process of community meetings and commission meetings and stuff like that. It's just that we don't tune in.
Well, and I imagine if you're someone who spent that time, when you look at the ballot and you see, okay, there's no explanation of what the particulars are, that's sort of discouraging. But we will encourage people to take a look and find out what that is. Let's go ahead and bring in our last caller, Aaron. And Aaron, just briefly, if you'd like to tell us your thoughts about these other questions on the ballot.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I'd just like to say that I don't see how it could ever be a bad thing to solicit public input and sort of give voters an opportunity to have a voice, even if the question might not be binding. At least you then have that data there on, you know, the people who bothered to get out and vote on what they might think about something.
All
so
right.
That's my main point. And my second point is, like, I heard something about not being allowed to bring phones into the polls. I always bring my phones into the polls, and I Google stuff if I need to. But I guess that's against the rules. I don't know. Nobody's ever given me a problem about it.
If it has a camera, so, they don't want you to bring the camera in.
Ah, gotcha.
But I'm not sure that's ever enforced.
I don't know why,
right,
but...
Right. All right. Well, Aaron, thanks so much for your opinion. And Gwyneth, what do you want to say to people about the importance of taking the time to go learn about things and going down the ballot and filling in?
You know, I admit this is the first year that I actually know what the heck this stuff is about. And I do this for a living. And it takes effort, and that is a real bummer. So go to the KUNM website, read through this stuff, and you'll feel better when you go to the polls that you know what you're voting for.
And we do have all the links up to the voters' guides and the Legislative Council Service. Rob, how about you? What do you want to say in encouragement to people to get out and really fill out their ballots completely?
Well, I guess it's an old saying that if you're not going to vote, then you can't complain. And especially, I mean, the advisory questions are getting a lot of the hoo-ha here, but as we've talked about, that they're not binding. But the other ones are the GO bonds, the ones on the alter the amendment to the New Mexico Constitution. Those things have real life impact. So if you're interested about these things, and even if you just want to complain about your government, well, yet in order to have that right to make that complaint valid, then yes, you should vote.
You know, and one last thing, you know, certainly on our Bernalillo County ballot, it tons of judgeship races, and not to go into any of them today, but again to refer people to the League of Women Voters Guide. They do ask specific questions of the judges. Is that how you do your research on judges, Gwyneth?
Yeah, the Judicial Retention Commission puts out, it's very rare that they recommend that a judge is not retained. So that's what I look for. If they are, if it's suggested they're not retained, I pay attention to that.
You go to the Judicial Retention Commission. Well, thanks to our guests, Editor-in-Chief of Capitol Reports New Mexico, Rob Nicoleski, and New Mexico PBS correspondent and UNM journalism teacher Gwyneth Doland for making themselves available to our listeners. Thank you to both of you. And thanks to our callers for helping to develop our discussion today. Thanks to our engineer, Jefferson White. Michael Hess has handled our phones today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This has been the KUNM Collins Show on 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org, a public service of the University of New Mexico.